should have been really surprised. That's the shock of the whole thing, actually, when you look back and say, why did they think it was just some virus that this guy Montagnier pulled out of a lymph node? He could have pulled anything out of that lymph node. It probably had 100 different things in there that he could have identified. Just pulled out. Now, why did anybody fall for that? They wanted like hell to keep going, doing what they were doing. You get used to things. I think they didn't start all that stuff on one day. They started a little at a time too. You know, they didn't all of a sudden one day say we're going to go from being like clean cut kids that get 3 square meals a day and ain't nothing. But they just slowly started picking up more and more riotous kind of living, and it you get used to things, I guess, and then. I don't know, somebody put the suggestion out. The CDC wanted, they did want to have a plague. And it was a good, it looked like a nice possibility, and they went for it.
Remember the actor Errol Flynn?
Errol
Flynn. Swashbuckler. He was in, Robin Hood Captain Blood. He died on his 50th birthday, or around his 50th birthday. He was only 50 years old. He was so burnt out, so washed out, that when the doctor he died up in Canada, when the doctor did an autopsy, couldn't believe that he was alive for the last 5 years. His liver mm-hmm. was totally sclerosed, his heart was completely shot, he had atherosclerosis and arterial sclerosis, he had it all. And he looked about 90. Now, he drank every day, he smoked every day. And he lived a fast life. He also did some drugs. There's a good example of what would happen to a heterosexual in a very relatively short period of time. It took him about 20 years to do that. And so then you triple what he was doing and you can speed up the process. We have a lot of models for in the heterosexual community for people who have destroyed themselves without needing a virus to do it. We have a lot of things lifestyle we can show does. So now we say lifestyle is not a part of it. And that always amazed me that everybody bought that.
It was the easiest solution, the easiest explanation for those people who were starting to get all these diseases to accept, because the other one would have said, you maybe are going to have to modify your behavior. Now, we don't know exactly what it is you're doing that's wrong, but you might ought to think about, dropping a few things and seeing if what is it that's making you sick. I just can't imagine people that were doing that kind of stuff that weren't aware that it was the things they were doing that were doing it. And it's so obvious to me when I go without sleep for 2 days that's what's causing me to bump into things or forget things or have a little sore on my finger that should have healed really quickly and it didn't. It's obvious to me when that happens, but
why not just look at all the other gays who were not living that kind of life, who never got HIV or AIDS? Mm-hmm.
Well,
only 2% of the gay population have tested positive for HIV or AIDS.
Well, that's, there's so many, this particular whatever it is, you can't call it a hoax, you can't call it a conspiracy, you can't call it, it's something that's so bizarre that to try to explain it to somebody, it's almost like they can't possibly believe how bad it is, how dumb it was, how crazy. That's one of the reasons I think that Duesberg had a hard time convincing anybody at all, because he was saying, look, every single thing here is wrong. There's no evidence of it. There's plenty of reasons to doubt it. There's just, every bit of the data is wacky in some way. All the conclusions are wrong. All of them are wrong. If there's been one little thing wrong, then it's easy to say, well, here's one little thing that's wrong here. And people will deal with that a lot easier than the entire AIDS establishment is absolutely guilty of some hideous sins. And everybody's been fooled. Everybody on the planet has been fooled by a handful of greedy people without any scruples and no brains. That's hard to believe. See, I was like, no, it can't be. My mother wouldn't go for it. I said, Mother, I've studied this really well, and I'm telling you, there ain't no epidemic, Mom. There isn't an epidemic. There isn't anything out there that is causing people to die that's called HIV. It's just not. No, Carrie. I read it everywhere I look. I go, you know, and Mother, the entire medical establishment is wrong, and I'm right. No, you can't possibly be right, Carrie. They wouldn't do that. They couldn't possibly be wrong. Every radio station you listen to, every television station, everywhere you turn, there's somebody telling you that there is an epidemic of some organism that is fatal and that it, you get it from sex. So how can you come in here and tell me that?
Do you think that it should be renamed Dumb or Dumber?
Dumber, Dumber?
After the movie?
You know, I think that some of those people really ought to be, you know, there's 100,000 of them, right?
Yeah.
There's probably about half of those people are just too dumb to know what they've done. The other half of them have just been too dishonest. They have not the heart or the reason or the testicles to say, you know what, we screwed up really bad. And I think we've got too many scientists anyhow. We might just take those guys out to Alamogordo and drop another bomb out there. Just get rid of them. I think that we're going to do that to the guy that killed 200 people in Oklahoma. He was an idiot, misguided, but powerful. He could make bombs. These guys are the same way. They're idiots, misguided, and they're powerful, and they have been killing people right and left. And the people they hadn't killed, they think of all the suffering and misery they've caused. Just the fear of AIDS has probably killed about 1,000 people, just the fear. It doesn't make you feel good to think you might be getting a fatal disease all the time and worrying about it every morning. Say, is this cold the beginning? Is this flu the beginning of AIDS? A lot of people with HIV are always worried. Every time they get any little disease, they're worried, sick about it, and some of them probably end up dying just because of their worrying about it. It's not one of those things.
Bone pointing.
It's what?
Bone pointing.
Bone pointing, yes. It's sort of like bone pointing.
Yeah, the Aboriginal quality of pointing a bone and condemning someone, and that allows them to go out and die.
There's things that I can see there, but I just don't know how to talk about it. If you look at them long enough, you say there's a lot of interesting stuff there. And that's probably the way atoms look somehow like that. And they go down infinitesimally in structure. You don't get down to any shiny little balls anywhere. And just all the things that we really started with when we started trying to decide what matter was made out of turn out to not make sense in light of what we find out using those assumptions going in, You come up with something like a neutrino. Well, that's a cool little particle, isn't it? No mass, but angular momentum. Carrying the angular momentum of an electron. Well, that's a really sort of interesting idea, isn't it? So we don't know anything. And it's like not unlike, we're only here because we learned how to eat, not because we had slide rules, We're here because we know how to eat and mate, and maybe bring up our young to where they can do that. And that's not, it's shocking to me that we know anything. That we can build a jet plane that can usually fly is an amazing, it's got to do with, we cooperate, we have written language, and none of us could do that, actually. I couldn't even make a book, by myself. I couldn't make a damn Coke can if I had to. I don't know all the things you need to know. None of us is very smart, really. We don't know anything much. I know a few things, and you know a few things, and all of us together, it's a miracle that we're here. And I don't think it's the weak anthropic principle kind of thing operating either. I didn't go for that. I think it's stuff that we just, it's way beyond our comprehension. That's why the religion is a thing that people do continually seek out. Some people somewhere inside of you know that it's a lot weirder than that. it's stranger. I think some British guy said, life, the universe is not only stranger than we imagine, but stranger than we can imagine. And I think that sort of, that is something that struck me a long time ago as being, we're pretty arrogant to think that just by learning how to copulate and eat and raise our kids, that we're going to learn about the inner workings of the entire universe. And when we run out of information, we just come up with something like the primary first, the way you start in cosmology, you say, well, if you can't see it, it's like everything you can see. Right? If it's too, the whole universe must be homogeneous, because if it weren't, we wouldn't be able to talk about it here in this classroom, right? That's pretty, that was lame the first time I heard that. And I said, wow. Right, because you couldn't talk about the whole universe, since most, 99% of it's invisible to you. So you must just, you have to assume that the same laws apply everywhere. If they don't, then you can't even make up a theory about it, right? It doesn't matter that it's not testable at all. It's a, I have my own cosmology published in Nature, by the way. That was funny as hell. When I was a second-year graduate student, I published a paper called The Cosmological Significance of Time Reversal in Maddox's magazine. And he took it. And I wasn't a cosmologist or even an astrophysicist. I'd read Scientific American a little bit, taken some acid, had some dreams about how things were, wrote myself a paper and got it published. Suddenly, I was writing, you know, I was saying, the Big Bang Theory is not right, and the steady state theory is not either. This is a good idea right here. What about it? Published it. When I sent PCR, no thanks. They rejected it. Nature rejected the PCR paper that I wrote, and so did Science. Both of those austere magazines. But they took, Nature took the cosmological significance of time reversal, which was the sort of lunacy of a sophomore, I mean a second year graduate student in biochemistry. That when that happened, it really, that was my first real shock about science. I said, there's nobody minding the store, you know? There aren't any wise old men up there. How could this happen? How could they let me publish this theory in Nature? It's not like in some backwater journal, Nature. You know, a lot of the professors in the department said, what in the hell is this? One of our graduate students just put his own paper in Nature, and it's not even about biochemistry? It caused a lot, it's weird what that did to my career at Berkeley. People said, well, he's weird, but
AIDS is a lot of people think of it as a conspiracy by some group or something like that. But it's just something that happened. It's a thing that really fit right into the historical framework, and it went exactly the way a sociologist looking at history would have said, yes, something like that ought to happen, and it happened. And there's the thing that I learned, like back in 1968 when I first published a paper by myself in Nature in a field that I had no expertise in at all. There are no old wise men up there at the top of science, which I would have, I really did until 68, I would have thought, you know, if you try to publish a dumb paper in a journal like Nature, it won't get published. If you try to publish a good paper in there, like I later tried to publish PCR, the invention of PCR, in the same journal, and they didn't take it. So it's up there, there isn't an up there. There's no place up on the Academy of Science is just a bunch of idiots, just like everybody else. You know, the editors of journals, austere journals even, they're just busy with their little lives and stuff. There are no old wise men up on the top making sure that we don't do something really dumb. You know, and we are kind of like the children of the apes that we came from. We're naive, and none of us even knows how to make his own shirt, you know. We don't really individually amount to a whole lot. We have a pretty neat thing going here, and I like it. But you can't think that there's really some council of elders or something watching. And there certainly is not some austere body of people that are not self-interested, that are really looking at medical science and making sure that everything works, or that nothing really dumb happens. We're on our own here.
Carrie, what would happen if half the scientists in the United States came here, could live right across the street from the Pacific Ocean, see beautiful sunrises, sunsets, have a lot of nice sex, have a refrigerator with beautiful women with nice bodies, hang out with some good people, and enjoy this kind of lifestyle? You think you get a little different?
Would they be different? No, I think people are gonna, you know, we're really bound to remain human. Human is what we are, and human is, you know, is we have foibles, right? Our warranty runs out probably when we're about 35, for one thing. You know, we're old wise men.
were not involved in evolution because they didn't exist. There weren't any people over 35 probably until at least 100,000 years ago, when people started carrying things around that they could bash animals with and stuff like that. So old wise men are kind of a new development. Old wise women are a new development. I think the humans will always just be, we have to think of ourselves as a bunch of kids. I think there was a real, somewhere back in there when we came out of the trees and hit the ground, there was a neoteny kind of an event where we stopped growing up. We were babies of the apes that got old enough. We got capable of reproduction. You know what I mean? That something had to happen there to keep us, to make that transition. And if we look around and think of ourselves as kids, just a bunch of kids, then I think we see much better who we are than if we think of ourselves as being, mature. I always think of myself as a kid. I roller skate, I play, and I love little kids to play with, and I don't ever think of myself as mature at all. And I think that that's a better way of looking at humans than that as they start looking older that they somehow get wiser, because it's not my experience that they do.
Gary Mullis, fun talking with you.
Well, it was a pleasure talking with you.
Let's go get something to eat.
understand what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about burning down a building. It's coming from the soul.
Just can't stop.
So
good, y'all.